I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 24, The Master of Deception. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with the principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag take time for family activity suggestion or a dinner conversation starter. Today's topic is the master of deception. It's one of the principles discussed in Come Follow Me for September 23rd through the 29th. You may have heard the story of the disruptive, noisy boys in a Sunday school class who were asked by their exasperated teacher why they even bothered to attend Sunday school. And one of the more disruptive boys replied, "We came to see you perform a miracle." Well, the teacher walked slowly over to the boy and said, "We don't perform miracles here, but we do cast out devils." I like that story. Today we are talking about the master of deception, and that is Satan. In Galatians 6:7 it reads, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Are you by chance familiar with the movie Catch Me If You Can, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks? Or maybe you have read or heard about the number one New York Times bestseller, Catch Me If You Can, The True Story of a Real Fake. Both the movie and the book tell about one of the most well-known con artists of all time, Frank William Abagnale Jr. And they are both based upon true events from Abagnale's life, the world's most sought-after con man, forger, imposter, and escape artist. Some of his most famous deeds include cashing over $2 million in bad checks over the course of 6 years in 26 countries, and assuming at least 8 identities from airline pilot to doctor to lawyer, and the fact that he managed to escape police custody twice, all before his 21st birthday. Well, what started his life of crime, you might ask? It all started with his need for more date money. Yep. When he was 15 years old, his father gave Abagnale a gasoline credit card and a truck so that he could commute to his part-time job. Well, needing money to go on a date, Abagnale devised a plan in which he used the credit card to buy tires, batteries, and other car-related items at various gas stations, and then he'd return the items and ask for a refund in cash. In the end, his father was responsible for a credit card bill over $3,000. Now, Abagnale soon moved on to writing personal checks on his own overdrawn account. Of course, this only worked for a short amount of time before the bank started to demand payment. When this happened, he decided to open other accounts at different banks, which then led him to creating new identities to keep up with his charade. In a speech Abagnale gave, he told of an occasion in which he noticed the location where airlines and car rental businesses, they would drop off their daily collections of money in a zipped-up money bag, and they deposit them into a drop box on the airport premises. Well, coming up with yet another deceptive plan, he bought a security guard uniform at the local costume shop, and then he put a sign over the drop box that said, "Out of service, place deposits with security guard on duty." Lo and behold, his plan worked. Abagnale himself could not believe his idea had actually worked. He even stated with some astonishment, How can a Dropbox be out of service? Abagnale is not the first con artist this world has ever known, nor is he the last. I mean, history is filled with stories of con artists, swindlers, scammers, counterfeiters, men and women who have deceived others by tricking them into believing something is real when in fact it is not. If you've ever visited a foreign country, you may have seen firsthand some of the best counterfeit products on the market. I mean, items that closely resemble popular brand name merchandise, but at a closer look are just fake imitations. China is well known for counterfeiting everything. I mean, from jewelry to electronics, from designer handbags to designer jeans. They are notorious for imitating recognizable logos and images such as Nike, Adidas, and even Starbucks. That's right. Did you know China doesn't just copycat products? They copycat stores as well. In the last few years or so, there have been news reports of fake Apple stores popping up all over China. I mean, they are made to look and feel just like real Apple stores. Everything from the store's decor to the employees' uniforms to the Apple logo on the receipts, all of which make it almost impossible to tell if you've walked into a real Apple store or a fake one. Some are so believable that they even have their own employees convinced that they work for a real Apple store. The act of deceiving others has been around since time began, and so has the master of deception, Satan himself. As you know, we first knew Satan as our brother up in heaven before the world was created. And the scriptures teach us that he was one of our great leaders, an angel of God who was in authority in the presence of God. But because of his pride and desire to have God's kingdom all to himself, he fell and our war in heaven began. In this war, we fought to keep our free agency. We fought for the right to obtain the highest degree of happiness and the opportunity to become like our Father in heaven. Now, it could be said that when Satan and his followers were cast out of heaven, we won the war in heaven. And in a very big way, we did. But the war isn't over yet. As Elder Larry R. Lawrence explains in his Ensign article, The War Goes On, instead of being sent immediately to outer darkness, Satan and his followers were first sent to earth. They are here to provide opposition for those who are being tested. And after the millennium is when Satan and his followers will be cast out forever. Now, Satan's days are numbered. And in Revelation 12:12, it says, "He knoweth that he hath but a short time." As the second coming of Jesus draws near, Satan and his followers, they are fighting desperately to take hold of as many souls as they possibly can. Satan, as we are told in 1 Peter 5:8, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Did you know that Satan, he has his sights on all men, but most of all, according to D&C 76:29, he maketh war with the saints of God and encompasseth them round about. He knows that it is the saints of God that have the most potential for eternal happiness, something he will never have. He will never obtain a body. He will never have a family, and he will never experience a fullness of joy. He is clearly out for revenge. He wants no one to have what he can't have. And the faithful Latter-day Saints are the closest to obtaining what he will never possess. To Satan, this is not just a game to see how much he can get away with or how many people he can convince to follow him before his time runs out. To him, this is still an all-out war. To him, he still has a chance to hurt those who have put him in this situation, who fought against him in the pre-existence. To him, he still has a chance to hurt our heavenly parents as he leads away their beloved children. I mean, he is well aware of what his fate will be, but he is not going to go down quietly. So how does the Father of Lies take down as many of the Lord's followers as he possibly can? By doing what he does best, deceive. You know, counterfeit is defined in the dictionary as made in exact imitation of something valuable or important with the intention to deceive or defraud. One of Satan's greatest tools in which he uses is counterfeiting gospel principles. He strives to take anything that is good and of eternal value and make an imitation. An imitation that is as worthless as a counterfeit $100 bill. Elder Lawrence pointed out some of Satan's counterfeits today. He said, quote, "One of Satan's counterfeits for faith is superstition. His counterfeit for love is lust. He counterfeits the priesthood by introducing priestcraft, and he imitates God's miracles by means of sorcery," unquote. And he continues by pointing out that, quote, "Marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God, but same-sex marriage is only counterfeit. It brings neither posterity nor exaltation," unquote. Just as the fake Apple Store employees had been fooled into thinking that they worked for a real Apple Store, many people today have fallen into Satan's trap and have been fooled into thinking that what Satan offers is real and will bring them true happiness. Now, you have to hand it to him. I mean, Satan has had centuries to perfect his ability to deceive, and he has become quite good at it. I mean, he has mastered the art of selling his counterfeit products, and he has gained a substantial number of adoring fans. I love the hypothetical account that Elder Quinton L. Cook told once at a BYU devotional. Elder Cook shared a time when he had met an internationally recognized advertising expert. The expert told Elder Cook of a hypothetical account where he envisioned Lucifer meeting with an advertising agency. I mean, he could picture Lucifer telling of his dilemma to the ad executive, telling him how he and his followers, they had rebelled and rejected the Father's plan, and they'd come to understand that they could never prevail against God. And they understood that while the Father's plan was about joy and happiness, Lucifer's own plan resulted in grief and misery. The problem, Lucifer explained to the ad executive, was how to attract followers. It was determined that Lucifer's only hope of succeeding was to achieve a paradigm shift, or in other words, to characterize the Father's plan as resulting in grief and misery, and Satan's plan as resulting in joy and happiness. Essentially, the only possible way to sell his plan was to make all things good, righteous, and joyful seem miserable. To call evil good and good evil, darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, and to convince people that there is no hell, I am no devil, for there is none. Now, although that account is hypothetical, I mean, you can totally envision it, can't you? I mean, how else can Lucifer, who all he has to offer is misery, how else is he to attract followers than by convincing us that good is evil and evil is good? What's amazing is the fact that he has done a great job selling it. I mean, people are buying it all the time. What's even more sad is those who are deceived, those who fall for Satan's fake advertisements and are fooled into believing that Satan's counterfeits are the only way to be happy, they often go to great lengths to obtain what Satan has to offer, oftentimes fighting against the very things that would make them truly happy, not realizing what they are doing. I love what Elder Neil A. Maxwell said when he said, quote, "How tragic it is that so many mortals are mercenaries for the adversary and are bought off at such low prices. A little status, a little money, a little praise, a little fleeting fame, and they are willing to do the bidding of him who can offer all sorts of transitory rewards, but who has no celestial currency," unquote. What is someone left with when the counterfeit happiness they were pursuing doesn't pan out like they thought it would? It leaves them with exactly what Satan wanted them to have: painful feelings of heartache, regret, and emptiness. Remember Galatians 6:7, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in verse 8 it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Dallin H. Oaks expanded on this when he said, quote, if we indulge in drugs or pornography or other evils that the apostle called sowing to the flesh, eternal law dictates that we harvest corruption rather than eternal life. That is the justice of God, and mercy cannot rob justice. If an eternal law is broken, the punishment affixed to that law must be suffered. Some of this can be satisfied by the Savior's atonement, but the merciful cleansing of a soiled sinner comes only after repentance, which for some sins is a prolonged and painful process, unquote. I also like what else President Oak said when he said, quote, if we choose the wrong road, we choose the wrong destination, unquote. Whatever path we choose to be on will determine where we'll end up. We reap what we sow. If you live a life according to worldly desires, you will receive punishment for that corrupt lifestyle. If you live a life of faith and repentance, you will harvest a reward of exaltation. Don't let Satan deceive you with thoughts like, it's okay, everybody does it. Just this once, it won't hurt. It's my choice, I can do whatever I want. That's just who I am. Or, there is no God, therefore there is no Satan. If you haven't noticed, Satan's way is pure selfishness. It's every man for himself, is doing anything and everything that makes me happy. The scriptures even say in the last days, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Satan promoting selfishness only makes sense because it's the exact opposite of what Christ teaches. Christ teaches us that the way to happiness is by loving God and loving our neighbor. It's not being lovers of ourselves. You know what's more ironic? Is in reality, Satan cares nothing for you. He could care less about your happiness. There's no heart he would not break, no life he would not take, no soul he would not destroy. And please do not be deceived in thinking that nobody will ever know of the sins you commit. No matter how secretive you are, God always knows. And he has repeatedly warned us that the time will come when our iniquities shall be spoken upon the housetops and our secret acts shall be revealed. Remember what Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, with all this talk about Satan, please don't think, oh, I'm doomed. Satan is out to get me. That's only partly true. Yes, Satan is out to get you, but no, you are not doomed. Heavenly Father did not send us here to fail. He wants us to return back home to him and has done everything he can to provide us the way to do so. Remember what we've talked about before about light. Darkness can never overshadow light. Even the tiniest light can dispel darkness. Light overtakes the darkness every time. And it's the same with us when we fill ourselves with heaven's light. By reading our scriptures, going to the temple, and going about doing good, we overtake the darkness. Only when Satan succeeds in deceiving us do we become vulnerable to his power and the light within us diminishes. But if we hold to the rod, heed the counsel of God's prophets and our church leaders, and heed the promptings of the Spirit, we will not be deceived, and Satan will not win. Satan can't win if we don't let him. But it is up to us. Be ye not deceived. That is my prayer. Don't fall for Satan's counterfeit happiness. It is not real. It does not last. And I say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now a word from one of my affiliates. My affiliates provide the means to keeping my blog and podcast up and running. So I am grateful to them and to you. If you love to read books, you don't want to miss out on Deseret Bookshelf Plus. It is a Deseret's app that has all of your favorite church books that you can now access on your device. Or what I love and use the most is their numerous selections of audiobooks. It's great when I'm short on time. It allows me to listen in my car or while I'm doing dishes. Check out Deseret Bookshelf Plus. Your first 30 days are free. Simply go to melanieslibrary.com/shop. All right, on to the Family Home Evening Suggestion. But first, let me remind you, if you haven't already, you can go to today's show notes and sign up for my Teach Me Family Home Evening email group, where I send you an easy-to-use Family Home Evening outline each week that goes along with the podcast. Simply go to www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme24 to sign up. A couple suggested songs. You could do the primary song, Choose the Right Way, or the hymn, Choose the Right. For the attention getter, have several fruits and or vegetables laying out, fresh produce, and ask your family what their favorite fruits and vegetables are and discuss what it takes to produce food. Then mention how we can compare growing fruits and vegetables to our everyday lives. And then read the scripture, Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10, where Paul is teaching us that whatever it is we plant, that is what we will harvest. And you can ask, you know, if you plant or live a life of dishonesty and selfishness, then what will you harvest or receive in the end? And ask, what if you plan or live a life of righteousness by obeying God's commandments? Then what will you harvest or receive? And then to start off the lesson, you can ask, what kind of life does Satan want us to live? How does he get us to live such a life? And you can point out in verse 7, it says, be not deceived. And then ask, who knows what counterfeit means? You know, it means something that is fake. It's not real. Explain how people will sometimes sell things that are counterfeit, especially in other countries such as China. And then I'll have a link to a video that shows a bunch of China's counterfeits. And talk about how Satan does this exact same thing. He tries to sell us on his lies and convinces that his ways will make us happy, when in reality it's just the opposite. His ways will only bring us misery. And then tell the hypothetical account that Elder Cook told about Lucifer and the ad executive. Then as a family, you can list some of the lies that Satan tries to deceive us with. You know, and they could include some of the ones I mentioned, like, it's okay, everybody does it, or just this once, it won't hurt. Or it could be ones that Elder Lawrence mentioned, how Satan's counterfeit for love is lust, his counterfeit for priesthood is priestcraft, and things like that. And ask, what is someone left with when the counterfeit happiness they are pursuing doesn't pan out like they thought it would? You know, it leaves them with exactly what Satan wanted them to have, painful feelings of heartache, regret, and emptiness. And remind them in Galatians 6, 7, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And end by sharing the quote by President Oaks when he said, if we choose the wrong road, we choose the wrong destination. And bear your testimony. And then for an activity, you can set out a bunch of things all over your living room, like chairs and books or pots and pans, whatever you can find. Then you pick someone to blindfold. The blindfolded person has to try and make it from one end of the room to the other without running into anything. And you can designate one person to represent the spirit who tells them where to go, and one or more people to represent Satan and his followers. And they try to convince the person who is blindfolded to go ways that will make them run into stuff and not make it to the other side of the room. The point being, we need to work at listening to the Spirit so that we are not led astray. It's important to listen to the Spirit and not to Satan. And you can take turns being blindfolded for whoever wants to try it. All right, on to the teaching tip. Today's teaching tip has to do with ministering. And I'd first like to quote Jean B. Bingham when she said, quote, Jesus smiled at, talked with, walked with, listened to, made time for, encouraged, taught, fed, and forgave. He served family and friends, neighbors and strangers alike, and he invited acquaintances and loved ones to enjoy the rich blessings of his gospel. Those simple acts of service and love provide a template for our ministering today, unquote. My tip today is don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone and make a new friend. I mean, that is basically what ministering is all about. There are many times I've heard sisters say that they don't feel like they have any friends. I believe it's in part to the fact that everyone is so busy. But friendships don't have to be that complicated or time-consuming. I mean, oftentimes we just want to feel noticed, that someone actually knows we exist. If you haven't made contact with those you've been assigned to minister to, let me make a few simple suggestions on how to start. 1, pray for them and ask the Lord how you can help them. 2, smile at them and say hi to them at church. Seek them out. Make sure you pass them in the hall, whatever it takes. 3, ask them at church or text them and find out what their favorite soda is or flavored water, whatever drink they love, and go drop it off to them this week while they're at work or at the end of the day. 4, find a quote you really like that you probably saw on social media, funny or serious, and send it to them. And just say, hey, hope you're having a great day. I love texts, I love sodas, and I love it when people say hi to me at church. These are all things that are so simple yet so effective. It will make your ladies feel like they're not being ignored and that you do know they exist. And it will be the beginning of a beautiful friendship, I promise. All right, hashtag take time for family. The two most important ways to build family relationships is through 1, spending time together, and 2, conversation. The closer it gets to October, the more excited I get for fall. I love fall. And for some reason, I always associate popcorn to fall. Maybe it's all those caramel popcorn balls at the fall festivals. I don't know. But a great family tradition, something you can do every week or once a month, is make popcorn. I'm sure you're thinking, what? What's fun about popcorn? Well, it's fun if you make a new and yummy popcorn recipe every time. There are so many great popcorn recipes out there. For a month or two, I made a new popcorn recipe every Saturday because I wanted to try some out, and my family loved it. They looked forward to it. And I'll share a link to some great popcorn recipes in the show notes. And you know, you can easily make it into a game night as well. Make popcorn and then play your family's favorite board game. Have fun with it. Well, that is all for today. I sure enjoyed doing today's episode. Thanks again for listening. Have yourself a great rest of the week, and I'll talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.